What's going on, everyone? This is Jason Fitzgerald, and you're listening to the Over the Cap podcast, a special weekday edition that we're doing just basically because of the Patrick Mahomes contract extension. There were so many comments that I got yesterday about it. They were asking about doing a podcast on the topic. I did a post on it a little bit. And before I wanted to do a podcast, one wanted to get more of the numbers that were kind of coming out yesterday. But I think the other thing was you kind of want to sit and kind of stew on the numbers for like a day. I think you need to do that before you can really jump into it, at least if you really want to kind of go through some of the details of the contract. So the numbers themselves obviously are eye-popping, and that's exactly what they were designed to be. So the numbers that were reported out there are $503 million, a $500 million contract. And it's those types of numbers that are designed to essentially steal headlines for a 24 to 48 hour or longer period of time, where you get this to be called the richest contract in sports history, the biggest deal ever for any type of player, the largest amount of guarantees, and so on and so forth. Every superlative that you could throw on a contract was in the numbers that got released on this deal as of yesterday. The actual numbers often are different. In this case, yeah, they're different, but they're very impressive. So the $503 million total, how do we get to that number? Number one, it includes the money that was already in Patrick Mahomes' rookie deal. Those numbers were $2.79 million this year and $24.837 this year, next year. So those are included in that number. The second part that's included in that number is the quote-unquote fluff in a contract, and those are incentives. Those are $25 million of this deal, of the reported number. They're not likely to be earned. They're very difficult to earn. These are very high-end incentives. In the case of Mahomes' incentives here, his incentives are going to be tied to winning the NFL MVP award and winning the AFC title game, so basically appearing in the Super Bowl. Every time that he does that, he'll get $1.25 million for each of those accomplishments. So if he wins the NFL MVP and gets to the Super Bowl in the same year, he'll make an extra $2.5 million. The odds of earning $25 million of that, well, think to yourself, when was the last time you saw somebody win 10 straight Super Bowls or appear in 10 straight Super Bowls? So, yes, it's a contract that incentives that are kind of floated on being a dynasty, but they're very difficult numbers to attain. So the base value of the contract is actually $450 million. And the catch on that is that it's a 10-year extension. So he is going to be under contract for the next 12 years to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was a little bit surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been too surprised, but I was a little bit surprised at the amount of shock that people had in this contract, the amount of crazy things that were being thrown around about this. And maybe that's just because I am fall into this subset of people who really study these kind of contracts and have looked through a lot of these things historically. But I was very surprised at the initial, beyond the big number that was there, but the initial kind of reaction to this, which is exactly what an NFL team wants you to do. They want you to be so blown away by a big number that you can't say no. And it's almost like a bluffing game. It's almost like you hid something. Kansas City, for the next 10 years, has complete quarterback security. The next 12 years, if you want to count his rookie deal into it. This contract is a really good contract for the Kansas City Chiefs. As crazy as that's going to sound, it's a very good contract for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll get into why that is. But the way that the deal was done, perfect accomplishment, because you have people talking about how this is going to change the game in the NFL, how this is just so huge, the amount of money that now we're talking about, baseball money in the NFL, all these different things, and none of it really amounts to anything. This is the same stuff that went on with contracts back in the early 2000s. In the early 2000s, there was this big push for players to basically get a huge total sum of money with almost a disregard for annual values, potential earnings, potential lifetime earnings, I should say. And there was this mad run, this mad dash to do this. And you had a couple of players that signed these big contracts. Brett Favre was under contract for 10 years, give or take a little bit. Carson Palmer was under contract for something like 10 years. You had Donovan McNabb under contract, I think, for 12 years, which would be the same as this one. I think Dante Culpepper did a 12-year deal. Michael Vick did a big long contract. There's a couple of players that did this. At the same time, you had another subset of players like a Peyton Manning who were kind of going the more traditional route, which was 5 years at a time, 6 years at a time. People learn very quickly, especially as you looked at Brett Favre, and you looked at Brett Favre and you saw that Brett Favre signed for, say, maybe it was $12 million in 2001. I don't have the number in front of me, but he was stuck on that contract all the way through the time when he was on the New York Jets. That was in 2008. By 2009, the market had moved up to $16.25 million. So there was clear growth that was going on that someone like a Favre missed out on because the contract ran for so many years. It ran for so long. And agents pushed back on that, and they started to move away from this concept of doing these long-term deals and really determined that the bigger money for players is in doing a bunch of shorter-term contracts. And that's what we're seeing right now in the contract dispute that's going on between the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, where really the biggest issue with it is that Dak Prescott wants a 4-year contract and the Dallas Cowboys want a 5-year one. Here we're talking about a 10-year deal. So you have something that is just completely out of the ordinary, something we are throwing ourselves back 20 years with this contract, going back 20 years with this kind of structure. And you say to yourself, okay, well, does it make sense then? Does the big eye-popping, mind-blowing $450 million make sense? Barely. I put 450 down as well. Once this deal came out as a 10-year deal, and I started posting a couple things on Twitter, the number that I said would be, this is actually before the 450 came out, just a 10-year deal. The number that I said, if there was a base value on this, it had to be worth at least $450 million just to kind of get your attention. Why do I say that? And the reason that I say that is because of the way that contracts grow at the position. And when you take a player like Mahomes, who's a generational talent, you want to try to find the best comparable situations that you can to a player like Mahomes. Who would some of those players be in modern times? They would be players like Tom Brady. They would be players like a Peyton Manning. They would be players like Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning. I know people are going to get crazy about Eli, but at the very least, from a contractual perspective, you know he's up there. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. What are the takeaways that we can learn from these players? If you sign a contract today and you sign a 5-year deal, all right, typically that means you would be up for an extension again, I don't know, probably in 2026, 2025, 2026. Depends on how they would do it, but 25 or 26. And if you look at the contract growth that you see in the NFL, how much do contracts grow in that period of time? And this is where you can kind of take some numbers into account. So if you look at Eli Manning, where did the market go? The market went from about $16.25 million when Eli signed his record-setting deal to 5-6 years later, give or take a little bit again, would have been $22.5 million. Tom Brady signed a $18 million a year contract, and the next deal that would have been there in that, you know, that next extension time frame was almost $25 million a year. You had Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was $22.5 million. By the next time around, Aaron Rodgers, I think, reset his own market at $33.5 million. If you looked at Russell Wilson probably went from $22 to $35 million. These are the periods of time. This is the way things are changing. This is the way things move in the NFL right now. The contract growth at the top of the market for quarterbacks is basically hyperinflated. If you take a very conservative projection for Mahomes, which would be kind of what we discussed on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, where we talked about a $38 million a year contract or a $39 million a year contract, and you apply the same kind of growth rates that you see to those Russell Wilson deals and that Aaron Rodgers deal, and there's no reason to think that he wouldn't get that, on a percentage basis, you know, you would take that and you would come up with something that would probably average for the second contract about $58 million a year. And you can talk all you want about coronavirus. And I know there's a lot of people who brought up, well, coronavirus. Coronavirus is going to impact the NFL next year. Or I shouldn't say next year. It could impact the cap next year. It's going to impact the revenues for teams this year. It's not long-term going to have that kind of impact, I don't believe, at least, on the NFL. In reality, you will probably see a significant drop in revenue this year, but things should go back relatively to normal in 2021 and beyond. And we already know from the past that the cap is growing at a rate of around 6% or so a year, maybe a little bit below that, you know, $10, $12 million a year. The players will get a little bit more cut. So it's probably going to go a little bit higher. So it's probably going to be at a little bit higher rate than it was in the past, but at the very least, it's going to be comparable to it once you take into account this one blip that's in there. And again, even if you want to say, well, that blip is going to cause a flat cap the next 3 years. When Aaron Rodgers signed his deal in 2013 at $22.5 million and all these other guys were signing for $20 million, it was a flat cap. The cap retreated in 2011, didn't impact revenue, so owners didn't care in that sense. But in terms of planning and in terms of stuff like that, the quarterbacks didn't get pinched. 120.4, 120.375 million, I think, when the new CBA was signed in 2011. That was a drop from 2009, where they were up to about 123 in the base, 127 after adjustments. The next year, it was 120.8, 120.6. You know, it went up like $300,000. The year after that, in 2013, it was 123 million. It wasn't until 2014 that there was growth. It went to 133. And then even then, people didn't know if that was going to be sustainable. As it turned out, that became the sustained growth rate. 133, 143, 155, 167, I think, 178, 188.2, and now 198.2. So it's been growing pretty steadily. Is the NFL going to get that major increase in contract numbers down the line? I don't know about that. That was really the big thing, was that the television contracts are going to explode. They're going to go up. Look, baseball just got, I think it was a 50% increase in their rights fees from, I don't know, it was their TBS or ESPN package, but one of those. So you have to imagine that's probably a conservative number for the NFL, would be a similar raise. If you get a raise like that at some point in time, it's going to change the cap from growing at a rate of, you know, $12 million a year to probably closer to $20 to $25 million. Now, it's not going to all happen at once. It's going to happen in increments, right? You're going to go from, say, 12, a year will be 15, because all these contracts aren't all up at once. It's not like the NFL has 1 year where they get all new deals. It's over a span of time. I think one new contract has to be negotiated by maybe 2021, it said, when they did the CBA. But whatever it is, the cap should go up a little bit higher just based on that. It might not hit the massive numbers that people were expecting, but it's going to go up. And if you look at Mahomes' contract, what we have here essentially is two contracts in one. And what they did is they agreed to do two deals, two five-year deals, that would be reflective in some way, shape, or form, I guess, of the value of the player. So essentially what they did is they bought out his first free agency for $39.55 million a year. That's the average annual value of this contract through the first 5 years of the contract. And that's a very important number, because that is the number that the rest of the NFL is going to look at when they negotiate normal player contracts with other players. It's going to be a cap on the market. The second part of the contract is going to run from 2031, from 2026 to 20, from 2027 to 2031. Let's see what those numbers are. That's going to equal his total minus whatever he was at in 2026. it's going to be like a little over 50. Yeah, 50.45 million. So the second contract is 50.45 million. And this is where, to me, it's a deal that clearly favors Kansas City and why they're popping champagne the minute that this deal is done. If you go through this and you look at these structures here, what do we see? We see contract number one that we've bought out for 39.55. And now we have contract number two that we've bought out for 50.45. In reality, it probably was going to cost them the same $38, $39 million right now. And then where we talked about, probably around 57 on the second contract. Call it 55. Whatever numbers you want to call it. So let's say it was 55 for the second. Let's say it was 38 for this one. That's 93. That's a 46.5 average. That's more than $45 million a year, which is what this one averages. If you take that growth rate of those other two deals, and let's say you take a 58 and a 38, what's the average of that? $48 million a year, higher than 45. If there is a hyperinflation in the salary cap, if there is a big growth in the salary cap, someone during that period of time probably would have been over $60 million. Let's just say $60 million on top of that. You get into $49 million a year. So realistically, the fair value on this probably had to be closer to a base value of $500 million, not $450. That probably would have been the point where it tips a little bit more in favor of the player, or I think it at least is on common ground with the player. You know, it's kind of split evenly. Because where this is right now at 45, this tilts towards the team pretty significantly. Pretty significantly, but significantly enough towards the team to where you have to be thrilled with this deal. Then you get into the second part of this, which is the cash flow aspect. And this is really, really surprising to me, and it's really light. When we talked about his deal a couple of weeks ago, my assumption was your goal is to beat Russell Wilson in every possible category that there could be. He didn't even come close. Mahomes will get a $6 million raise over the existing contract years. That's basically nothing, in the grand scheme of NFL stuff. To you and I would like a $60 raise, but... the $6 million, it's, nice, but in the NFL terms, it's not much. He'll make $35.45 million in new money in the first year. That's less than Ryan Tannehill. That is half of the amount Wilson got when he signed for $71 million. Year number two, Mahomes will have jumped up to $75.9 million in earnings. That number is barely above Matt Ryan, who earns $30 million a year, who earns 75.25. It's below Aaron Rodgers at 83. It's well below Russell Wilson at 90. I had pegged Mahomes at 98 to 100. It's below Jared Goff at 83 million. It's below Carson Wentz at 77 million. It's way under. This is huge advantages for the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of the structures. In terms of the payouts on this, you get to the third year of the contract. He gets up to $113.85 million, still trails Russell Wilson, who's at $114. Then you get the turn. Mahomes gets to $155.8 while Wilson is at $140. We don't really have any comparables after that. Mahomes will be at $197 at 5 years, $150 million. is the next closest player, which is Matt Ryan. Everybody else a free agent. So it's not really an apples to apples comparison, because then at that point, the question is, would someone like Wilson, was at 140 at year four, would he get at least $57 million in new money in the first year of another contract extension? It's possible, but we don't know where that will be yet. But that's where the turn begins, is in the fourth contract year, where it jumps ahead. But still, when we look at the annual values on the deal, this is the type of contract that typically is given to a lesser level elite player, the front end of it, to a lesser level elite player that wants to have the biggest annual value of a contract, but really doesn't have a case to get there. And what teams do in this case is they will create a cash flow structure where the first 2 to 3 years of the deal will trail the actual market leaders. And then they set the market in either the fourth or the fifth year of the contract. It's a classic little trick by NFL teams. Maybe not a trick might not be the right word, but it is a way to kind of bridge the gap between two sides when you get into the numbers. And for Mahomes, who is the most elite of the most elite players, you wouldn't expect that. You would expect it to go the other way. You would expect it to be like Wilson's deal. Wilson's deal, they didn't want to go insane with the annual value of the contract. So instead, they crafted a contract that would kind of go insane with the cash flows on the front end relative to the rest of the market, and then would come down. That's the traditional way that a deal is done. This is the way that you would do a deal for someone that would be, and it didn't happen with Carr, but more of the level of someone like a Derek Carr, where he's not Andrew Luck, but you kind of craft a way to make it surpass that number overall, but maybe certain little metrics along the way, it doesn't reach there. And again, I think Carr's contract did, but whatever. That would just be the level of player. Mahomes is a completely different talent, a completely different level of player than that. You get into the turn then in the sixth year, and then we start, again, it's a creep up on the annual value, $43 million through 2027, $43.2 through 2028, $43.4 through 2029, $44.2 in 2030, and then finally it balances out at $45 million per year by the time you hit 2031. So where is really the benefit in this deal for Mahomes? Number one, it's exactly what teams wanted to hear. People maybe wanted to hear with these things, with those eye-popping numbers. You know, obviously you're set for life with this kind of deal. The benefit of this contract is in the guarantee structure. So they crafted a guarantee structure, which is a set of rolling guarantees throughout the entire contract. So just in terms of new money, what would he earn if he was cut in 2023? He would have earned $113 million. Obviously, he's not going to get cut then, but or almost $114 million. If he was cut in 2024, they would have had to have paid him $153 million, which would average just under $77 million a year. You get to 2025, if they would cut him, he would have earned $155.8 million. Which would be a 51.9 average value. Then you get to 2026. If he was cut in 2026, they will have paid him $194.7 million. It would be an average value of $48.7 million per year. If they cut him in 2027, it'd be $59.43 million would be the average value, and they would have paid him $247 million over that time frame. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So it's not fully guaranteed, but essentially, he's going to earn probably every season of this contract. The only season that I would say is in jeopardy would be the last year of the deal. And, you know, he would still get a nice little prize on his way out the door. But the annual value at that point would work out to $45.716 million if they cut him before his salary that year vests. So that's a pretty strong guarantee package for him. What is it protecting you from? It's protecting you from catastrophic injury. The only reason that I shouldn't say it protects him, it doesn't completely protect him in the event of catastrophic injury. That would be the areas where they could move away from it. But if he ever did get that, he would get a nice chunk of change as, you know, he was asked to leave the team. Those injuries are pretty rare. Who would be players that I would say were catastrophically injured? Alex Smith, the broken leg and the leg basically snapping in half, getting infected. He's probably not going to play football again. Teddy Bridgewater's double knee disaster. That was a pretty devastating injury. That's a career altering kind of injury. That's pretty much it. You know, Peyton Manning had the neck surgery, but he still came back after just 1 year. If you're going to miss one season, teams aren't going to cut you. It's when you're going to miss multiple years because of an injury. And that's really what this protects from. So you do have a lot of risk for Kansas City if they're worried about that. And I don't know why Mahomes would be worried about that. Maybe part of the reason why he'd be worried is, you know, he did get that injury this past year. Thankfully, it didn't impact him overall, but maybe that sets off the little alarm in your head of, man, you know, if this could have been one little sidestep further, one little move worse than that, you know, it could all be gone. And so maybe there was that kind of thought in it, because there was no rush to get this deal done. Let's be quite honest. There's really no rush to do it. So maybe that would be a reason. At signing, I mean, $63 million fully guaranteed, $141 for injury, but those numbers don't matter. It's the rolling guarantee structure that basically guarantees a bunch of salaries 2 years out and 1 year out that are very high. That's very strong for him. So I won't say that's not the case. Why would Kansas City be willing to do that, though? And it's very simple. Quarterbacks don't get cut. They don't. And that is why when you go back again to that analysis of talking about $58 million a year, $60 million a year, those kind of numbers, while not guaranteed, are pretty close to it. And teams don't care about these rolling guarantees when they know the player is this good, when they know the player is this great. And just so you get an idea, we say, no, you're probably wrong about that. Tom Brady lasted with the New England Patriots for 20 seasons. Ben Roethlisberger's on number 17 with Pittsburgh. Eli Manning went 16 with the Giants. Philip Rivers went 16 with the Chargers. Aaron Rodgers is on 16 with the Packers. Drew Brees has been 15 years in New Orleans. Peyton Manning spent 14 years in Indianapolis. Matt Ryan, 13 and counting. Tony Romo was 13 years with the Dallas Cowboys before he had to retire. Matt Stafford, 12 and counting with the Lions. Donovan McNabb made 11. Russell Wilson is on 9. Cam Newton made it 9 before he was released. Quarterbacks last many, many, many years. So you would be looking, for Kansas City's perspective, they look at this as a 15-year investment. Brees, Rodgers, Rivers, Eli, Ben, and Brady. They all went at least 15 years with their teams that were there. Peyton Manning went 14. They could move away from this contract after 14. Matt Ryan is probably going to get over 15. Romo had to retire. Stafford, it's iffy. Might be close. Russell Wilson will probably make it to 15. So they already know that this guy, barring catastrophic injury, is going to be there. That's why they want the 10-year deal. This would be different if this was a lesser quarterback. You're not going to do this kind of deal with these kind of guarantees for a player who is a little bit more iffy. Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins. You're not going to do those kind of guarantees for that period of time. You're going to be a little bit more cautious with it because the deal is not really guaranteed to last you those 10 new years or 9 of the 10 new years. When you get into, again, some of these deals, the only place you had to make it to for his sake, again, was the 7 year in, because that's where that second extension comes from. And, you know, Newton, Wilson, you can get Flacco in that mix. So many players, lesser players, made it to that second contract negotiation. So that's why, from Kansas City's perspective, they don't care. They don't care about a rolling guarantee. Their only worry is catastrophic injury, because the guy is so good, they know he's going to be there for all these years, just the same as these other players. Now, they have him locked up. What could drive that number down to make it not look as that he lost as much? Well, the one thing that it would be is if this contract has enough of an impact on the market to hold quarterback salaries down. That's what happened with Aaron Rodgers in 2013. There was a hold down on contracts for about 3 years because of that. So in a sense, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy if that happens. But the way that I look at it, again, is people are going to look at those first 5 years of the deal, and they're going to see that $39.55 million annual value over five, and that's going to be your market cap. They're going to say, well, we're not going to go over that. That's what he earns. You know, you prove that you can deserve that. I didn't really hear much positive out of this from anyone that works on the agent end that I've spoken with. A couple people on the team side, more or less kind of thrilled with the deal. I would say that it, I think that it's beneficial for them if they ever have a player of this caliber and they try to negotiate a deal. Look, I've been critical of some of the things that Kansas City has done with some of their deals and other ones they do a pretty good job with. And just looking at this, I mean, this is a really good job by them. The thing that really stands out to me, and I think probably really forced the issue, is I think they use the media, in a sense, kind of against Mahomes here. I'm not going to say they did it overtly. I think they just took advantage of a situation that may have existed. They wanted to get a deal done. And because Mahomes is so good, there has been speculation about what Patrick Mahomes was going to sign for the last season and a half, I would say. Certainly after last year, after they won the Super Bowl, and really sometime halfway through, I think the year before, when he just started making ridiculous throws and was looking so good, there was a lot of speculation. It was like, well, what's this guy going to get? How much is he worth? The questions would be, I would get questions all the time. Well, what number is too high? And you kind of ask yourself, gosh, he's so good. What number really is too high? On a 5-year deal, maybe $48 million a year, 49? I don't know. There is a number where it does get too high, but it was a pretty high figure. And the number that was constantly thrown around was, will he be the first $40 million contract, $40 million a year contract, and will he be the first player to get a $200 million deal? So in other words, would he get a 5-year, $40 million a year contract? That was the big number. And I think it was going to be looked at probably as a loss if they could not come in there and they couldn't come out of this with a $40 million a year deal. And when you look at the offer and you look at those 5 years, $39.55 million in cash over the first five, that tells me that in no way, shape, or form was there ever probably a deal presented that was going to average $40 million over 5 years. And the only way to get to an over $40 million a year number was going to be for him to get to a much longer term deal. And then you get into the eye poppers. That's, what if we can get to $45 million a year? What would you think if we did a deal that's essentially kind of fully guaranteed, 10 years in length, $450 million. Option one, take a more traditional contract and don't get the $40 million a year. Option two, dominate the news cycle for this contract. I think that's a great job by Kansas City. I just think that's a fantastic job. And I think that that's a way to really sell this. We're not getting to 40 over five. We're not getting to 40 over five. I know you want at least 40. We're not going to get there. Hold firm on that. Every offer you're building out, we'll get there over 10 and we'll blow it away. It'll be so spectacular. You'll get blown away. And this is one of the questions with quarterback contracts as you move forward. The money has gotten so high for quarterbacks. It's gotten so far up there for players that it's hard to say no to. But in reality, it's not Mahomes' job. He's perfectly fine with this deal. But you kind of would hope to see that players get more out of their talent if they can. Now, maybe this Tom Brady situation, he agrees to take a discount. That's another way you can look at it. The question that I would have is, if that's what you did, if that was part of the selling point, was that this is a discount to field the most competitive team possible for the Kansas City Chiefs over the next 10 years, because you're going to be a dynasty. If you're going to do that, then if you're an organization, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And what that means is re-signing Chris Jones, because you've gotten a break here. So now where do you use that money? It means re-signing Eric Fisher. It means re-signing Travis Kelce. It means all these players that we talked about a little while ago who are going to be free agents 2 years from now or so. It probably means re-signing them. It means getting some free agents here and there. And if you're not going to do that, if there's going to be a period of time, and all teams have down years, All right. Even the Tom Brady Patriots have years. Their down years are very different than the down years for the New York Jets. But they have down years as well where, you know, they kind of don't make it to that second level of the playoffs. You know, they get there, but it's not as great of a showing. Maybe they get eliminated in the first round. Maybe they make it to the second round and they kind of get beat up a little bit in there. You know, the season is 10 wins instead of 12 or 13. It happens to everybody. And the question is now, what kind of conversation do you have to have with your quarterback when there is going to be a year like that? And you kind of say, well, look, you know, we do have to take a step back here. It's for the betterment of the team long term. But you kind of start to say to yourself, well, why did I take this deal if you can't put the pieces around me every season? You know, why do we have to take a step back for a year? So it does kind of create a little bit of a conversation, a little bit of a conundrum, I think, for the Chiefs in that regard, if this is sold as a discount contract, to where you can't necessarily take a year off, or you have a little bit more explaining to do. But, you know, it's just a really, really good contract, I think, for Kansas City. I can't imagine any scenario where they will regret this. You know, and again, just the numbers thing, I just don't know what some people are looking at when they're just harping on this $450 million number. And it's the same issue that we see sometimes where people start comparing NFL contracts to baseball contracts. Many of the NFL players, if you want to compare apples to apples, your best quarterbacks to your best, your best in general baseball players, there are comparables when you start looking at value in terms of a per year. The real difference is that the career of an NFL player is not that long. So the career-wise, it doesn't work out the same, and they don't get the big guarantee that the Mike Trouts of the world do, because in the case of most players, they're not going to make that amount of money. But when people would compare like a Matt Ryan was going to compare favorably to players that would be his contemporaries in baseball, because Matt Ryan has always been a pretty highly compensated football player, and he continues to have a long career. And that's why it's going to happen. It's just the nature of things. But where people start pulling up names like Eli Manning, and I don't know where this comes from, that Eli Manning is the highest paid player in NFL history. He's not. He's close, but he's not. He didn't make $250 million in his career. It's around 230, 232 or so. But even still, let's say it's 250. Peyton Manning, I think, was 247-ish. You know, Drew Brees is maybe up to 290 million. And anyway, people just start comparing. It's like, wow, well, you know, Mahomes is going to make $450 million, and the biggest career earner in NFL history only made 250. Well, you're talking about a player that was drafted in 2004, you know, or a player drafted in 1998. You're not taking into account the rising contract values. I will guarantee you that there are going to be contemporaries of Mahomes who will earn more money over the course of their career than Patrick does. I can almost guarantee that, because there are players who are not going to do the 10-year deal, and they're going to do their deal. They're going to get a 3-year deal for $38 million, $39. Then they're going to get another contract after that that's $45. Then they'll get another contract after that that's $50. You know, it's... they're going to keep moving up and up the food chain, and it's going to add up to more than $45 million a year. It's going to happen. Who will it be with? I don't know. If I was the Houston Texans, I would love to get Deshaun Watson to do this kind of contract. I don't think they will, because the Houston has kind of screwed themselves over, I think, with the Tunsil deal. So I don't think they can really even entertain this kind of contract. I don't think they can even throw this out there. But he would be the closest player who's eligible right now that this would fit into, that I think you can look at him and say, okay, this is the kind of player that's probably going to be here another 10 years. All agents' eyes will be on this, because agents are going to hate this contract, because this just adds a different dimension to negotiations, especially, and again, just talking about good things for Kansas City, the cash flows on this being so advantageous for Kansas City, you can go to every player you sign at this point and you can do stuff like that. You know, you can say, well, you know, Mahomes did this very favorable structure. We'd like to do the same with you. We'll find a way to make it work. We'll put a rolling guarantee in there. Yeah, we'll put mechanisms that guarantee every year in that contract. Might be a little bit different than Mahomes. It won't be 2 years out, but it'll be 1 year out. So agents aren't going to like this. You know, they're going to look at this. Do you think Todd France is in love with the fact that, you know, that there's now a 10-year contract on the books? That doesn't help his argument. That's a negative. So, you know, I would say Houston, that's the next one. You know, I think other people are going to want to see Houston do a deal that's a much more player-friendly deal, just to kind of get things back to normal. I think that's one of the things that they will kind of look to do. Next name would be Lamar Jackson. I think you have to wait to see on Jackson. Jackson, obviously, last year was special. It's 1 year. You know, Mahomes had two. I think you need to see two. You see two, you know it's going to be repeatable. There's a different skill set here. There's probably more injury risk with Lamar Jackson. But after Baltimore went through that Flacco debacle with the way that contract worked out, it would make sense if they could do something like this. You know, they would gladly sign up for it. I don't think you can do for the Mayfield, Darnold, Allen group. There's just not enough there yet, even if they had good seasons to entertain, excuse me, these kind of deals. Because there is, like I said, with these rolling guarantees, you are locking yourself into a long term on the contract. That's the one area for the team where, for Mahomes, it's not a concern because he's so great. But if you go to a lesser tier player, you know, if you go to the next tier down, if you go to the Kirk Cousins tier, the Jared Goff tier, there's no guarantee that you're looking at 15 years with the player. So you don't want to do a 10-year deal. You want to keep your options open a little bit more if you're a team. Only other thing really to look at this, you know, is salary cap wise. There's no change to the deal the first 2 years of it. I'm sure that was important to the team because you get into issues that could happen with the salary cap, and their salary cap is already tight to begin with. So they didn't have really room to do anything. You know, people talked about how the small signing bonus was COVID related. No, the small signing bonus is the fact that they could not add to his cap number. There was no way to do anything bigger than this and keep his cap number where it was, you know, if they did any kind of bigger bonus, because his paragraph 5 salary is going to be the minimum. So there was no way for them to do that. People have made a big deal about these huge roster bonuses. They're basically good for, you know, the cash aspects of it and kind of forcing things. Kind of helps out a little bit the fact that the salaries themselves aren't that high on the front end of the contract. Gives a little bit more favorable timing on some of the deals. But they did the same thing with Tyreek Hill. A lot of people put the Tyreek Hill thing, they thought it maybe had something to do more with his off-field kind of stuff. My guess is this is just one of the ways that deals are moving, that you're seeing stuff like this because it gives you more flexibility. So the cap hits on this are going to be 5.4, 24.8, 31.5, 42.5, 39.95, 41.95, 41.95. So through 2026, there will not be any salary cap issues whatsoever related to Patrick Mahomes. In 2027, that number jumps to 59.95. That's a big number. That's a number that's really designed for some type of restructure. That's usually a really good job from an agent standpoint. The way the guarantees work on this, only in the event of catastrophic injury would it really be notable. The thing would be here, maybe if there was a chance that they would look to tear this one up and add another couple years to the deal that were much higher in earnings, you know, in return for salary cap relief, I guess that would be a possibility. I would imagine they have automatic conversion rights in this contract, so they can just automatically convert the $49.4 million roster bonus into a signing bonus. And when you look at the deal, that's where there's 5 years left in the contract, which is your max proration terms anyway. So I would imagine that's what they're looking at. You know, and even if you converted all of that, it would add $10 million a year onto the back end of the deal. Your salary cap numbers at that point would go from 44 to 54, 44 to 54, 50 to 60, and 52 to 62. Given the rising salary cap, those numbers are going to be fine. So 2027 is probably more just an, again, eye-popping number. We saw how many people ran with, wow, he's got a $49.4 million roster bonus in that contract. you are so many years out right now. And again, it's one of those deals where it's probably there to get converted. If you look at the way these numbers run, how much of that would be converted? Probably not all of it, but they will probably have him under a certain number for most of the deal. So the salary cap numbers should not be a problem at all. And certainly on the front end, they're not. I can't imagine a point where any of these numbers would be trouble. I really can't. He has a no trade clause. They weren't going to look to move him anyway. So he can agree to a trade. So if things really go sideways, you don't owe anything. There's basically no dead money. All the guarantees transfer over to the other team. You just got to work out a trade before that roster bonus is due. So there's really nothing not to like if you're Kansas City. I don't think there's anything not to like if you're another team in the NFL, unless you just look at this and go, man, why couldn't I get a deal like this with our quarterback? You know, if you've got one of those special guys, I think that would be the the only thing that you would really be negative on with it. You know, it's a throwback contract. That's all I'll say about it. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a throwback to a different generation with a little bit of a modern guarantee stuff mixed in. I think that he would have earned much more if he would have played it out differently. Certainly would have had better payment terms, I would think. There was really no rush. There was no leverage really on either side at this point in time. It's structured as if all the leverage in the world was with Kansas City. But it is a big deal and you can't discount that. And, while, you know, I criticized all the people that went nuts on the $450 million number, it is a mind blowing number. And it's a number that you can't turn down. If somebody gives it to you, it's very difficult to turn down. You know, it's got to be pretty difficult to go to a player and say, hey, look, they're offering you $450 million virtually guaranteed. I don't think we should take it. And I think he'd look at you probably a little bit sideways and go, man, we got to take that. Like, enough is enough. And it's a great job for a team to sell it that way. And if more teams can do it, more power to them. I hope they spend more money on the rest of their roster if they're going to do that. If not, you know, this is going to be a block of sorts on contract growth at some point on the position. And it could change the dynamics in that regard. But more likely than not, this is going to be looked at as an outlier, with a lot of people 4 or 5 years from now probably saying, you know, why did he do that deal? Maybe it wasn't as good as we first thought. So that's it for me on the contract. You know, congratulations to everybody involved with it. You know, it's certainly a big accomplishment, big achievement for everybody. And if you're Kansas City, you got to be thrilled. This gives you your best chance at, you know, keeping this run going to be this generation's New England Patriots, or whatever team was quarterbacked by Peyton Manning for all those years, Indianapolis or Denver. This is your opportunity now. You've got it in place. I didn't predict this. I don't think anybody did. Good job for them. And see where things go from here with contracts. But that's pretty much what I got on this one. So you guys have a good week. We'll come back at the weekend again with something. We'll figure out what teams we're going to do. I'll try and post something today. I got some other work to catch up on. But have a good one, everyone. And I will talk to you again soon.